Good morning. Welcome to Missio. It's so great to see all of your lovely faces. And whether or not you're here in person or on Zoom, so glad to see you. My name is Vicky. I am the Women's Director here at Missio. And I just wanted to welcome you guys here this morning. So great. It has been so long since I've taught like in person up front. It's crazy. I had to wear real pants today. Anyway, my first question is for the kids in the room. So if you're a kid, listen to this question. So how many of you guys have had to work on spelling this year? Raise your hand. I want to see, even if you're a grown-up, maybe you had to work on some spelling this year too. But if you had to do spelling tests, or if you had like, you know, to work on your spelling list or whatever, raise your hand if you've had to work on spelling. Okay. Awesome. I see even some grown-ups working on spelling. That's great. Now, Augie, my son, who's in second grade, well, he's a rising third grader now, but he had to work on spelling all year. So like the teacher would give him a spelling list on Monday, and then he'd have a quiz on Friday. I'm assuming that's probably similar to what you guys have had to deal with. And for a while, he did not love it. He really didn't like it. And he just came to me one time. He was like, I'm not good at this. I can't do it. And he just wanted to give up. And I said, you know what? I didn't want to tell him, regardless of whether you like it or not, you're going to have to do it. I didn't say that to him, but I did say, what if this is something you work on and you get really good at it if you keep practicing at it? And what he said was like, okay, yeah, I guess I should have a growth mindset. And I was like, yes, you should. Now tell me, what is a growth mindset? Because obviously you didn't come up with that term. And he was like, well, yeah, it's something that my teacher talks about and our counselor talks about, which is that you shouldn't just say you can't do it. You should say you can't do it yet. Because if we choose to practice and if we choose to learn and grow in it, we can always get better at something. So it's always an opportunity to grow and learn. And I was like, yep, that's totally what I was talking about. And I just felt so grateful for the teachers and the counselors who had the wisdom to teach kids to be intentional about their growth, to be intentional about their learning. Because let's just be real, we aren't all natural math geniuses. We aren't all born readers, you know? Like I said, like we're not all good spellers from the beginning. And in fact, some of us as grown-ups are still working on a lot of those things right now, right? And I am so impressed that my second grader was already telling me, oh yeah, I should have a growth mindset. Because here's the thing, as grown-ups, we kind of forget about the growth mindset, right? Like if we don't have the structure of school to help us be disciplined and practiced in our learning, we just kind of settle for what we know and what we're good at. And if there's something that we're not good at, we're like, I can't do it. And no one's going to be like, yet, don't forget yet, right? Like no one's going to push us to have a growth mindset. I will admit that I get comfortable with what I know and I give up when things are too hard or take too much work. And so, kids, I just want you guys to know that your parents are listening and your parents are learning because we get to watch you guys be resilient and hard workers and students that have like are rock stars this year in the midst of so much change. And we are learning from you. We're learning how to be resilient. We're learning how to still try, even when things are hard. We're learning how to have a growth mindset. So thank you so much for teaching us. We are in a series that started 2 weeks ago. And the whole idea of it is that as we're coming back from the pandemic, as we're supposedly entering back into normal, right? There's a lot of things that we are rebuilding and resetting. There are a lot of things that we're doing personally in our own lives, and we're also doing that as a church. We're doing that as a country and globally, right? Like the pandemic has created an opportunity for us to say, what are the things that we most care about? What are the priorities in our lives? And what are the things that we just put in there because life got busy and things just happened and I don't want those things in my life anymore, right? So it's such a unique opportunity for us to reset and restart and rebuild. But part of what it means to rebuild and reset is to remember who we are, who Jesus is, who he calls the church to be, so that as we're rebuilding and resetting as a church, we come back to the things that are most important that hold the heart of Jesus. And so we are going to be focusing on these core values every single time in our Missio expressions. So today I just want us to look in Luke 15. So we're going to have the passage up front, but you can go ahead and turn to that with me. If you're online, it will also come up as well. Luke 15, 1 to 7. I'm going to also read it for us. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, there are a number of things that we could focus on here, but the one value that I want us to really sit in this morning is intentional. Jesus is intentional. He is intentional with who he hangs out with. He is intentional with his words. He is intentional with his love and his pursuit of his children. And he's intentional with his celebration, right? So first of all, let's look at the parable. We see the context of this parable. The reason why he's telling it is because Jesus is hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and he's eating with them, right? In that day, the tax collectors and sinners were the outcasts, the people that no one wanted to hang out with, right? Others, like the Pharisees and the church people, the leaders of their day, considered these people as the bad people, right? Because they thought they made choices that God didn't like. They did some bad things in their books, and so we're going to call them bad people. And also true in their day, whoever you hung out with, that said a lot about who you were, right? And I think that that's probably still true now, that we think, oh, well, if you hang out with the bad kids, then you're a bad kid, right? And there's just that assumption that's put onto you. And so the Pharisees say, "Jesus, you have been talking about how you're the good teacher and that you're a man of God, and yet you're hanging out with these bad people. And so it must mean that you're a bad person yourself. It must mean that you are not a man of God, because how could you be hanging out with these bad people that we don't want anything to do with?" And so it is at this point that Jesus tells the parable. And by the way, a parable is a story with a main point. So when you see Jesus telling a parable in Scripture, you should be asking, what is the main point that Jesus wants me to understand here? That's a parable. Now, Jesus shares a story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep and he loses one of them, right? He stops everything, leaves the 99 in the open country to look for the one. And he doesn't stop until he finds the one, and then he carries him on his shoulders and he celebrates, right? Now, sheep aren't smart. I feel like I actually talked on sheep last time I spoke, and they're just not a smart animal, right? So they wander off, they get distracted, they get stuck in a bush, they could have gotten too tired in the valley and didn't have the energy to climb up. There's so many things that would have happened, and they don't run fast, they're not camouflaged, so all these predators can come and just take the sheep when they're alone without the protection of a shepherd. Right? And so we hear this story and we just think, of course the shepherd goes and gets the one. Of course the shepherd would leave the 99 and go for the one, because some of us have grown up in the church and we've heard this parable 1,000 times. But if you just did the math for a moment, if you studied stats or anything like that, if you just, you know, used your common sense for a moment, I think it's important that Luke tells us the numbers. That he says there's 100 sheep and one is missing. I would say 99 sheep not missing is pretty good, right? It's really good. That one sheep is collateral damage. You just cut your losses at that point and you round up, right? You say, hey, I did pretty good. If you lost 50% of your sheep, yes, you need to hustle and you need to get those sheep back into the pen. But if you lost one and you're going to like say, okay, 99, take care of yourselves. I'm going to go for that one who probably deserved it, you know, then maybe you just say, it's okay. Let's just round up. Statistically, I'm doing awesome. If you got a 99% on your math quiz, you're not going to fuss over that 1%. You're going to be like, I rocked. That's pretty much an A+, right? That's practically perfect. 100%, right? You forget about the one. We don't need to think about the one, right? But if you were that one sheep, it's not about the stats. You'd be like, I'm still lost. Please, shepherd, do not round up. Do not settle for 99. I'm out here and I'm all alone and I need you to come. I want to still matter to you, right? And we see that the shepherd doesn't rest until he's found. We see that he doesn't look at the stats. He doesn't settle for good enough because that one sheep does matter to him. He's not thinking statistically it's okay that 99 is here and one is gone. He is not okay that one sheep is even out there without his care, without his protection. It's not okay that there is one that is not with him, and he intentionally searches until he's back with the fold. And in fact, he is so excited that he carries him on his shoulders and he throws a big celebration. He tells everybody that he's found that one sheep. Now, what is the main point of this parable? Why does Jesus tell this to the Pharisees and honestly to the tax collectors who are also listening, right? I think it is that one matters. One matters. Each one matters to Jesus. That he's not like, you know what? As long as I got most of you, I'm okay. And listen, you're the one that wandered off. You're the one that got lost. So if you're not going to find your way back, then I'm sorry. It's on you. Right? That the point is that the one who is cast away, who's ignored, who's unloved and unseen, matters to Jesus. And he is going to hang out with them because he wants them to know that he cares. That he's not just going to leave them to the side and believe that, oh yeah, the world says that you're not worth the time, so why don't you just go ahead and hang out there and believe that lie? But he's going to say, no, I want you to believe that you really matter. And you matter so much to God that when you understand and know his love, that we're going to have a huge celebration for you. That is worth it. His love will never stop. He will never give up. Our God will always rescue us. Now, the Pharisees and the righteous people did not believe this for the group of losers, right? They were a waste of time. They were a blemish on their society. And they thought that God just cared about the people who did the right things, hung out with the right people, ate the right foods, right? And Jesus turns it around and said, hey, the people that we discard in our lives, the people that we say don't really matter, actually holds so much of Jesus' heart. So for a moment, I just want us to think about who are the people that are on the fringes of our world? Who are the people that our world says they're a blemish on our society? Our city would be beautiful without these people, that they are a waste of time and we just need to get rid of them. Whether or not that's at your school or at your work or in our city or in the world, who are these people? These are the people that Jesus is hanging out with and saying, you are absolutely worth my time and you are my people and I want to hang out with you. And I'm not going to stop until you live and sit in my love and know that you are worth everything. Now, he is intentional about that, right? And I would say that he is intentionally doing that and knowing that he's making everyone uncomfortable. I think sometimes we do things because we don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable, right? We're like, no, let's just not rock the boat. Let's just keep everyone comfortable. But Jesus doesn't care. He's like, I know that what I'm doing is going to make you uncomfortable. And that's okay, because he's here to invite us to not settle for comfort, but for transformation. And sometimes what that means is that we're gonna enter into some discomfort in our growth, in our spaces, right? We're gonna maybe be a little uncomfortable. And you know what? He is intentional with his invitation to the Pharisees. He doesn't just say this by like throwing it in the Pharisees' face, being like, yeah, what? You guys like the wrong people, right? Like he's not trying to like throw it in their faces and like one-up them with a parable. Because at the end, he says, there is great rejoicing over one who repents than over the 99 who has no need to repent. And in that sentence, he is actually throwing out an invitation to the Pharisees. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know that you matter too. Because who are the 99 who have no need of repentance? There's no one. Who is not in need of repentance? Who is perfect and doesn't need God at all, right? And so even though the Pharisees might think of themselves as the 99 who have no need of repentance, Jesus is saying, will you see yourself as the one? Will you see yourself as the one? Because my heart longs for the one, and I will go out and search for you until you come home. But you need to put yourself in a place where you believe that you actually need me, right? And it is an invitation to the Pharisees whether or not they want to see it or not. Now, Dom spoke 2 weeks ago on learn, love, and live, that in the process of learning who Jesus is, it informs us of who we love, how we love, and that gets transformed into how we live, right? That it's not enough for us to just know a lot about Jesus, know a lot about the Bible, but it is actually really important that that shapes our hearts and what we choose to love and how we choose to love. And then that also then informs how we live in general, right? Like that all three of those things are connected in us following Jesus and calling ourselves Christians. Dom said, what we believe about God and our love for him will show itself in how we live to a watching world. So as we try and figure out who is Jesus in this passage and what he cares about, that should inform our faith. And one of the things for me is like, oh yeah, I should have an intentional faith, right? We should be an intentional church, that we're not going to accidentally just, oh, have a service or accidentally just have the people in these pews, right? That what does it look like for us to be intentional people in our love and our words, intentional in our relationships and in our pursuit of God's kingdom, right? Jesus invites us to hard things and he says, have a growth mindset. Right? Lean in, practice, do something that you can't do yet, and grow as a follower of Jesus, right? Just like we don't want our kids to ever settle and say, you know what, there's autocorrect, you don't need to spell, or you don't need to work on your handwriting, the future is all like keyboards, right? We don't want them to settle for the easy stuff, because we want them to be people who can do hard things. We want them to be able to say, yeah, this is hard, but I can do it. But I want to be a person of discipline and growth and intentionality, right? But we also don't want that for ourselves. I mean, there are a number of runners in this group. And I will say that you don't accidentally get your body in shape to run a half marathon, you know? Like, that takes discipline and practice and hard work. Like, you make sure that you wake up early in the morning to put in your like, runs. You're slowly working up to that 13.1 mile, right? Like, that run. It takes a lot of intention. It takes a lot of discipline. You don't end up in your field of work, right, by just accidentally falling into it because you're just a natural genius in your field of work. It takes practice and study and hard, like just intentionality in what you study and what you choose to spend time in. And listen, you don't accidentally marry someone and meet your significant other. You don't accidentally fall into those relationships. It takes intention and honestly, a lot of times, practice. Right? I will tell you, that's a different sermon at a different time, but relationships take a lot of practice and for you to figure out, oh yeah, who should I be with and who should I not be with? And we just don't accidentally do the things that are most important, that matter the most. It takes intention and it takes hard work, right? And I think that sometimes we think that spiritual growth is magical and mystical, and we just want to be someone who drinks deeply of God's love. And then we just stand there and we just hope that it happens, right? Or I want to be a person that is rooted in the hope and love of God, and I just want to be able to trust him and be a prayer warrior. And then we're just like, I hope it happens. Or I want to have deep relationships in this community where people are holding me accountable and we're praying for one another. Is it going to happen, right? Like, and I think that sometimes we just think with spiritual growth and with things like that, that I just hope that God makes it happen. And you know what? The Holy Spirit does a lot. He does. But it is also an invitation for us to step into that as well. And it takes intention on our end to say yes to those things. Now, during the pandemic, something about me is I love to be in control. I love to be in control. I like to line everything up and have everything go as planned. That is my dream, and that is what my expectation, honestly, of life. Surprises are not helpful. I do not do well in crises, you know, like, that's just not my jam. You know, like routine and expectations, those are great. I love that. And because of that, I can be a little tightly wound and prone to anxiety when things don't go my way. And so you can only imagine what happened when COVID hit, right? Like, for someone like me who wants things to be lined up, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is like my nightmare. And some of it, the anxiety made a lot of sense, right? Like, it felt right to be anxious and appropriate because we had no idea what was happening. Our world was shutting down in ways that we had never experienced, right? Like, and we didn't know anything about this virus. We didn't know when we were going to be able to be out of our houses. It wasn't 2 months like they thought, right? Like, but I will say that most of it was fueled by fear and not a reliance on God's abundant grace and hope, right? And I know that I'm totally aware that this season was not an easy place to hope in the abundance of Jesus. I am fully aware of that, right? Like, I think it pushed some of us to the very edge. But I realized that what happens when I am anxious and when I don't have things go the way that I expect them to, I turn to fear and I turn inward and I get really self-protected, right? I'm like, I have no bandwidth for anybody else. I'm just going to curl into a ball and look inward because I can't handle anything. Like, I am just surviving and this is it. This is me. I'm not going to be an intentional parent. I'm not going to be an intentional wife. I'm not going to be an intentional friend. I'm just going to be defensive and reactive, you know? And that's where I was for a while. And then at some point, like 8 months into it, I looked up for just a moment and I thought, I don't like me like this. I don't like me like this. I was not created like this. I don't like me like this. Nobody else likes me like this. And I don't want to stay here because this is a gross place. Like, and I feel gross inside and I don't know how to get myself out of it because I'm still so fearful, right? And so I just thought, what would it look like for me to say yes to what Jesus has been healing me of with the anxiety and the control and all of that, right? It had been a long work, but I think that COVID just kind of threw me right back into it. And I thought, you know what? I don't have a lot, but I think I can sign up for the winter cohort that Missio was doing. It was a 10-week cohort on emotional healthy spirituality. It's a book, it's a course that we have been going through. And I was like, I think I can say yes to every Wednesday night for 10 weeks and reading the book and the reflection questions. And so I did. And I would love to tell you that it magically transformed everything. It did not, but it did create a little space in my heart to breathe. It created a little space in me for God to speak. And for God to say, hey, I'm sitting right here with you, right? Like, do not be afraid. It's okay. It gave space for him to give me some promises for the future. And it gave me some opportunities to just look up every once in a while and see that there was more in front of me than just this tightrope of a life that I was creating for myself. You know, and those who struggle with anxiety understand that, right? Like that we walk this tightrope and we're just expecting at any point we might fall off and we will never be able to get back on. And it is not a life that Jesus has for any of us, right? Like, you hear that and you're like, what an awful life. Now, I wanted to believe that there was a spaciousness that God was inviting me into. And that just kind of allowed my heart to just breathe and hope a little bit in that. Now, in the midst of that, as we ended that time, the role for women's director came up. And I was able to see, oh, I think God is actually saying, this is for you, Vicky, right? Like, I've equipped you for this, and this is what you get an opportunity to say yes to next. And honestly, if I had not made the space to even look up, if I continued to be self-protective, I would have completely missed it. I would not have been able to hear what God was saying to me in that moment, in that season, right? And so the invitation for us is, what is one or two things that Jesus is inviting you to be intentional with? As we're entering back in, what is something that he is inviting us into to be intentional with, to grow in a new way? For some of us, it is a return to something that we used to do or used to be, and it fell to the wayside in this last season. Right? Maybe Jesus is inviting you to be intentional and work up those muscles again, but in a new way. And for some of us, he is inviting us to something new. And I think that that's true for a lot of us, right? There's this quote that I saw that I'm going to throw up right now. And I felt like it so encapsulated this unique time for us. We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal, other than we normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. And I wonder if there is an invitation from Jesus for us to be intentional in some of these new things that we've been seeing. An invitation for us to stitch a new garment. In the next few months, you're going to hear opportunities at Missio to grow, to lean in and be intentional with different things. And I just want to say right now that the heart of our staff team is not to refill your schedules with busyness. We don't need that, right? None of us want more of that, more stuff in our schedule. What we want is to create opportunities to stitch a new garment, to not settle for shallow relationships, to reach out and love our neighbors, to learn a new way to disciple our kids, to make space to hear God and walk in his spaciousness instead of our fears. And so the hope is really to create spaces for us to do that as a community and on our own. And that really is our heart. So my hope is that we will not feel overwhelmed as things get announced, like, oh my gosh, I'm just re-entering and there's so much stuff. That really our heart is like, hey, here's some ways that we can do this together. Let's rebuild together. Let's say yes to Jesus in intentional ways together. So I want us to, again, think about one or two ways that God is inviting us to be intentional this next season. And can you guys do this? Can you share it with one person at the end, before the day ends? I know that, you know, it won't be fully formed and it feels vulnerable, but I think that it is a way for us to be accountable to one another in things that are hard, right? That when we do hard things, Jesus is not inviting us to do it on our own, and that we are going to fail if we do it on our own. And so let's go ahead and invite somebody else into it so that we can grow and grow together. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we're grateful that you don't want us to settle. You don't want us to settle for easy. You don't want us to settle for mediocre. You don't want us to settle to just be comfortable. You want us to be transformed. And what that means is that we need to be intentional with our faith. We don't want to just accidentally stand and hope that someone else is going to transform our faith for us. We want to lean in and say yes to you in those places. And God, I pray that we would learn from the kids to have a growth mindset, that even though things are hard, even though we can tend to be protective of ourselves, that we would lean in and say, yeah, we can't do that yet, but we want to be people who are like this. And so God, help me grow in that way. So God, thank you. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you for the chance to rebuild and reset and consider what it is that you have in store for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.